Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be glorified. As we lift our voices and bring sacrifices of praise, Lord, we know that we can build nothing, we can bring nothing that's of any worth. Lord, and today we acknowledge again that it's what you gave as you came in the form of a man, even a babe, that we might have hope of eternity with you. And so, Lord, just remind us this evening. Lord, we come empty-handed, so grateful for your Son. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. So picking up at verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph," and we know betrothal is not marriage, it is promised to, and there was a betrothal period, and if you understood the betrothal and then the process to the wedding was, the betrothal was a time when the son would build his apartment, or and often it was built onto the father's house, and so there would be the addition where he would then be, confirm the wedding, and the wedding then could go on. When the house was done and the father approved of what had been prepared for the son who was the groom to bring his bride. And so that this was the time of betrothal. They were not married. So obviously pregnancy at this time would be a scandal. And it says, "Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." So it was of God's doing. You know, I was thinking about when we go and we apply for a job, or if we're looking for a job and we get the questionnaire, right, the application for a job, one of the things, what do you do for recreation or your hobbies? And we often have to think about those things that give us pleasure, that inspire us. And many of us have hobbies or things that we like to do for recreation that we could think of right now. And in a sense, this is a story of God's recreation. What does God do? What does he enjoy? And God enjoys creating. And so here we're going to see that it is actually true recreation as the Holy Spirit forms this child in Mary's womb, the Son of God. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Premarital fornication that resulted in pregnancy was grounds for stoning. And he could have obviously broken the betrothal, the promise that was made between the two of them. Yet the Spirit starts speaking to him, the Lord starts speaking to him, and his first thought was, because he loved Mary, was to secretly hide her so that the world would not know what had transpired. And while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit," the miracle of life. You know, this world certainly does not value life, does not consider it miraculous. The fact that it begins at conception is mind-blowing, I think, to us, yet it's an afterthought to God. He already has known the name and the frame and the hairs on the head of every conception of egg and sperm. When we consider those things, that God creates, and it really blows my mind, and having had been a part of two children coming into this world that God invites us to be participants in His creation in that way. To the world, a cosmic happenstance. That it's just all a result of some chaos from nothing, which is impossible without God. But conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And we know that the prophet Isaiah is the one that prophesied the coming of Messiah, that he would be called Emmanuel. The tabernacle where God dwelt with and met with his people was a representation of things to come. We've been going through the book of Hebrews. We've been studying Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, and the rebuilding of the second temple. That building, you know, the temple obviously a building, but the tabernacle being that tent that was transportable that God had commanded Moses to build that would go with the children of Israel in the wilderness, and that when they would stop, God would command them to stop and they would put up the tabernacle, and that was the place where God desired to meet with the children of Israel, with his people. It's interesting that the tabernacle was fashioned according to God's instruction, a representation of an eternal heavenly dwelling is what we find in Hebrews. Yet ultimately, and still, a dwelling that would be made with hands. It was instructed by God, but it would be constructed by man. However, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. And Solomon acknowledged that very reality in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18. But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built you. The tabernacle was a tent. It had a linen surrounding on that was built upon wood posts. It was never about the meeting place. It was never about what man's hands had fashioned. As if any of our efforts can bring us closer to God. Paul, I believe, is the one that writes, there is none good, no, not one. There is none who seek after God. Yet in our pride, we believe that we can seek after God, that we can fashion things and programs, processes that will draw us closer to God, that will prove our devotion to seek Him. So man built the Tower of Babel that he might ascend into the presence of God. Pyramids, Solomon built the temple in all its beauty and its grandeur. But that was torn down. Zerubbabel laid a foundation of the second temple. Those that were there, some rejoiced, some wept, because they knew the glory of the temple that Solomon built, the glory of the building, but completely missed the heart of God and the purpose that God had given for the building of the tabernacle, which was just a plain tent. It was what was inside, the glory of God. God said the glory of that second temple would exceed Solomon's temple and anything that they remembered of it and it was nothing more than a 90-foot long, 90-foot high, 45-foot wide building. And why would God say that the glory of that building would exceed the glory of Solomon, other than the fact that God's plan of redemption of man would come through an Emmanuel, God with us? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 said, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation." It was of a recreation of God. A work that brought God joy and inspired God. When we think about the Christmas message, we often exclude the Gospel of John, because if you read it, it seems as if God does not include the story of the birth of Christ, the Christmas story that we gather together once a year to remember. It's not entirely accurate. It may not contain the detailed accounts of the birth of Christ as the other Gospels do. But it certainly includes the message of Christmas. You see, in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And that word for dwelt is tabernacled. And in John, he reveals the Christmas message, the whole idea behind the representation of the tabernacle, what it was meant, what it meant. It was not about what man had built to meet with God, but that what God had instructed so He could meet with man. That He had planned, ultimately, to come and tabernacle with man. God with us. The very realization of the promises found in the very purpose of the tabernacle, that Christ would come. And it wasn't about the building made with hands, but it was about the building not made with hands that was formed of the by the Holy Spirit. God with us, Emmanuel. God taking on a tabernacle not made with hands, but a body of flesh. You see, man cannot build up to God, so God came down to man to tabernacle and to be with us. So much of religion today is focused upon what man is doing for God. And we miss the simple message of Christmas of what God has done for man. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that her sins are forgiven." That's what it is. "For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness," is speaking obviously of John the Baptist who preceded, "crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight or plain, the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." And as I was driving to lunch, praying, seeking really to see what the Lord would have me say tonight, you know, that what is the truest, most simple message for Christmas, Lord? We've heard them all. We've heard it all, right? But what can I say that would express what the Lord has done for us, by giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. And as I was sitting at the light at John R. and 15 Mile, the Lord spoke to me. And right in front of me was this. On the car in front of me was this license plate, and I knew then what the Lord would have me ask and share of you this evening. Are you forgiven? I'm not making this up. This happened today. In fact, I sent it out to a lot of you already. Do you have peace with God? That was the purpose of His Son coming. We misquote often the scripture in Luke, glory to God in the highest, and we say peace on earth. That's not what it says. That promise is yet to come. It says, and on earth peace, comma, goodwill towards men. It's the peace of God. That God's goodwill was shared through His Son, Jesus Christ. That you can have peace with God. Are you forgiven? You see, that's what is spoken of in here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bring forth a son. You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. The very purpose that He came. And we're going to take communion together this evening. Have the worship team come up. But I want you to consider that. Had you been sitting at the light, kind of contemplating what's going on in the world today, what's going on in your own life, the season, do you accept happy holiday, having a happy holiday? What's all the other compromised platitudes that are being thrown around? Actually, I went into the gas station on the way here, where I usually get coffee, and I know they're Chaldean Christians. They know I'm a pastor. We talk about Christ and service and everything else. And happy holidays, store hours. And I told the attendant, I said, you tell Farah and Feta and Mara they changed that to Merry Christmas or I won't be coming back. And he started laughing. He goes, I will, and they probably will because they're pretty. But as you consider this time when we come again and realize that God had reached down to touch each of our hearts and invites us to come and to see that He's good and come and drink of the water of life freely, that the purpose of His coming, that we might have a hope of eternal life. Next Wednesday, I'm going to do a 2021 in review, and a lot of the things I'm going to talk about have just been coming up very recently, and I'm just going to kind of send a teaser out there, but not give you all of it. But if you saw Prince Charles' meeting or speech at the Global Climate Summit, there was, I believe, not a mistaken reference to a hymn that the world is expecting and waiting for. But it's not what we are expecting and waiting for. We're expecting and waiting for the return of Christ. That's our hope. The glory of God who came as Emmanuel. Let's pray, and as the worship team starts to sing, and if you're visiting and haven't been here on a Wednesday night, we do family style kind of, you come up as the Spirit leads. This is a time of introspection, examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. If you have examined yourself, are you forgiven? If you're wondering about that, this is the time. If you've wandered, maybe you're a prodigal, maybe you're backslidden. Now's the time to shore things up with the Lord. And as you do, and the team is playing, you come up and grab a juice and a cracker and go sit back down. We'll take communion together. And then after communion, a couple of the guys are going to come up and they're going to light their candles. They'll walk down either side of the aisle and we'll light our candles and we'll worship the Lord together to close out the evening. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that, Lord, you have us covered. That which we cannot do, Lord, that which we have nothing to offer for. Peace, to have peace with you. Lord, your Son came and gave him of himself completely so that, Lord, the communication, line of communication could be opened, that, Lord, we might have forgiveness of sins, acknowledging that, Lord, you became flesh and tabernacled with us, your desire all along. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if any have been questioning or wandering, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, as your Spirit formed supernaturally you as you came, Lord, and as your Holy Spirit has breathed the breath of life into each of us here, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move and recreate life in anybody here who does not have it, Lord, to be born again of your Spirit, to be inspired by your message of love, Lord, and your sacrifice you're mighty to save. We're so grateful, Lord, that they might have peace with you as the world rages, as the world's eyes are turned, and certainly awaiting the coming of the counterfeit Christ, the Him. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be turned in hopeful expectation. As we see these things, all this stuff going on, Lord, you said, look up, for our redemption draws near. We know you're near, Lord. But Lord, we ask that you save tonight and clean us up. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings, our iniquities, that we might come to your table and enjoy true fellowship and communion with you, Lord. So speak to our hearts. Change lives, we pray. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.